Well, brethren, how many times have you seen it happen where people smile to those they know because that is the thing to do? And afterwards, down them when they are not in their presence. During these days of unleavened bread, leaven typifies sin. But Jesus Christ identified leaven in another way. If you turn to Luke 12, we read what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. It says, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another. We don't have quite that larger group here, but we can relate to some feast sites in the past like that. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be rewarded, and nor hidden that will not be known. So Jesus Christ said, beware what kind of hypocrisy do these individuals have. Look at Matthew 23. Jesus Christ announces the approach and the attitude that they have. Matthew 23 in verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. We know a lot of people like that, don't we? At work or your neighbor, maybe even a relative. Anyway, all right. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. They wanted everyone to see how righteous they are by the things that they put on, not by how they are or how they live their life. Verse 6, it says, they love the best places at feast, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace. Hey, how you doing? Yeah. I love you, Joe. I hate Joe. Right? Verse 13, it says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You close the door for them. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Make themselves the gatekeeper. It's like the guy in the left-hand lane who decides he's in charge of the speed. Right? Left-hand lane is not a cruising lane. All right. Boy, anyway, I don't want to get off on that subject. Supposed to be righteous today. Okay, verse 24. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses. You take them from them. Have we not seen that happening lately, people losing their houses? You draw from them, you extract from them, and for a pretense make long prayers. And, of course, they're verbal and open. People can hear them. Come, let me make a long prayer at your house that you may give me a wonderful offering. Therefore, you'll receive greater condemnation, he says. Verse 25, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. You go over the place to try to draw people in. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. You bring him down to your level and you hurt him. He is not telling you to forget about tithing. Verse 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. These things you ought to do, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, mercy and justice and faith. These you ought to have done also. He's not telling us to forget about tithing. He is saying without the others, don't leave the others undone. You should be interested in those heart values. You should be interested in which must come from within. The judgment, the mercy, and the faith. Verse 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs. You can whitewash a gravestone. You can whitewash anything, make it look pretty nice. You can whitewash an outhouse, make it look pretty nice. But underneath it, someone who is dead, it doesn't make it any brighter. And he says, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. It's not about what's outside, brethren. It's what's inside. And that's what these days are about. Yes, you make them look good, but you are not like them. You can do all the exterior, external things, but you can't do the internal ones, Christ is saying. Hypocrites, he calls them. Notice Jesus wasn't afraid to say it like he saw it. Say it like it was. What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is one who pretends being what he isn't. Or he pretends feeling what he doesn't feel. That's what a hypocrite is. The Greek word for hypocrisy is hypocrisis. I think I'm pronouncing that right. That means pretense or hypocrisy of play acting. It's actually the Greek word for actor. Tell that to an actor sometime. You're a hypocrite. Yeah. Some of those people, I tell you, they act really well. Some of them you like. They are really nice. And then you read about them in the society columns, and they are not very nice at all. I've been around some people in my life, in my careers, usually in sales or marketing. And everywhere I've been, and this is just my experience, I don't want to put down any salespeople on the audience. That's not what I'm saying. Don't go there. The top salespeople that I have been associated with, I would not have over to my house for dinner. They are not nice people. They succeed. They have succeeded. The ones I'm experienced with, they've succeeded by dominating. And that's what he's talking about here. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. He says, therefore, let us keep the feast. What feast is he talking about? He's talking about this feast right here. He says, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He says, therefore, let us keep the feast. He's talking about Christ, our Passover. What follows on the heels of Passover? Days of unleavened bread. I would like to see us all focus, at least partially during the feast, if you haven't already. But God says we need to have sincerity and truth. Sincerity and truth, and yet the world lampoons sincerity and truth. Don't they make fun of you if you always tell the truth and you are sincere in what you believe? Few people today realize the value of being truthful. And if they do, there are few willing to be truthful all the time. What is truth? Here is one definition of truth. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary. It's the quality of sincerity and honesty. Nice how you used one word to define the other word, isn't it? Being in accord with the facts, experience, and reality. So I want to ask you, brother, are we people of truth? Are we people of sincerity? Here is the definition of sincerity. Sincere means without wax, or sincerely means without a false foundation. And apparently back in the days in the Middle East, they had these urns. You know what an urn is? They would sell these vases, and when a person was making the vase, if he didn't do it well, he would take wax and melt the wax and work it in to cover the fault or the flaw, so that the jar or vase looked perfectly normal, except if you hold it up to the light, you could see what happened. You could see the frailty or the crack. So they would try to sell these off to people, and they would say, does this urn or vase, is it sincere? That's the terminology they would use. Is it without fault? Is it without pretense? That is why he said, keep these days with sincerity and truth, because he said, you don't want to be hypocritical. Because those who are hypocrites are the ones Jesus Christ was denouncing. That ought to be what you see is what you get. That's where we get the same terminology from. Why is this so important? Why do we need to focus on this? Because truth has fallen, brethren, in the streets. I'm going to read you a few quotes in a moment, but truth has fallen. It's interesting, the gospel and the apostle John, I counted 93 times he used the word truth or true or truly in the five books that he wrote. In the rest of the whole New Testament, 90 times. What was he arguing for God's people to have at the end time? Truth. Let's look at Isaiah 59. 58, sorry. No, can't read my own writing. 59, verse 4. Isaiah 59, verse 4. Isaiah 59, verse 4 says, "None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." You talking about the politicians of today? Are you getting tired of watching the ads like I am? I turn them off. Notice in verse 34 of Isaiah, "Justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off." It's hard to find anybody that's deal fairly with you today. "For truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter." Verse 15. "So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey." You are a victim if you try to tell the truth in some circles. They laugh at you. They mock you. This guy's an easy one. Let's get this guy. He's a rube. Remember that expression? He's a rube. You have to have truth to have judgment. Truth is fallen in the street. Here's a quote from Lee Tan. You can Google it, find out who Lee Tan is. T-A-N. Quote number 5115. "Keeping Uncle Sam honest." I love this one. Of course, most of us know this already, but a quote, "Truth in Government Act." Wait, it gets better. Yeah. I laugh too. "Truth in Government Act, proposed by Representative Donald Frazier." Surprisingly enough, a Democrat. Sorry. From Minnesota a few years back. He would make it illegal. But you didn't know this. He would make it illegal for federal officials to lie to private citizens. Did you know it wasn't? Right now, honesty is a one-way street. Listen to this. Under the current law, it is a crime for a private citizen to lie to a government official. However, fill in the blank. Just watch any ad on TV. It's okay for them to lie to us in an official or unofficial capacity. This is the United States government, folks. You wonder why we're in the mess we're in. Here's another one. Saturday Evening Post. There appeared an article, "The government has the right to lie." Arthur Sylvester, Assistant Secretary of Defense. "If I'd been living in the early 19th century in what was then our country's West and had been a religious man, however you want to define that, I'm sure I would have taken my stand with the lying Baptists against the truthful Baptists." He was referring to an incident in 1804 in Kentucky when some Baptists were disputing whether they should tell the truth, possibly sacrificing the life of a child in so doing, or whether they should lie to the marauding Indians and possibly save the child. So he said, "I would just lie if it makes a difference." Goes back a long ways, brother. Here's a couple other comments about the frequency of lying. Here's a quote from 1986. I don't think it's changed too much. The Gallup said, 62% say that on a whole, they are dissatisfied with the honesty of people in the country. Well, only about half that proportion, 33%, are satisfied. So you see, 40% think lying is justified sometimes. I ask those people if they ever lie. Oh, no. It's like they say, we're going in the wrong direction, but I'm not. I'm fine. This is from 2006. It is a FoxNews.com search. "Public attitudes about lying. A poll was taken about 1,000 adults, and about 4 in 10 think lying is justified sometimes, while over half say it's never justified. But then, of the 52% who said it was never justified, when asked the question, 'Did you lie in the past week?' a number of those people said yes, even though they don't believe in lying when they were asked." I guess it depends on how you define a lie. Maybe. About 4 in 10 said at times exaggerate a story to make it more interesting and or lying to a child about the parent's past misbehavior. Why do they ask? Why did that even come up? I don't know. How about lying about Santa Claus and Easter? Let's start with that one. Very few thought it was okay to lie on a resume. Mike? Very few folks say it's wrong to lie on a resume. Or about cheating on your spouse or cheating on your taxes. Well, that's good to know. Some people draw the line somewhere, I guess. Who defends lying the most? What do you think? Not politicians. Don't go there. Who thinks lying is okay to do the most? People between 18 and 29, compared to only 4 in 10 adults, 30 and over. This one got me. College graduates tend to lie more. Where do they learn that? There's one other quote. I know you're all waiting to hear this. Who lies the most? Men or women? Everybody knows. Men tell twice the lies that women do. All the women are nodding. Yeah. Men lie twice as much as women. Research found men tell 6 lies a day. How did they research that? Are they following you around? How did they get this information? 6 lies a day. I don't even talk 6 words some days. On average, but women come out with just 3. And I'm not even going to speculate on what it might be about. The most common lie told by both sexes is nothing is wrong, I'm fine. People say, I can tell if people are telling the truth or not because if they were lying, they wouldn't look at me straight in the face. Guess what? Good liars are very good at lying, folks. They can beat a lie detector test. They can look you straight in the eye and tell you a fabrication. Of course there's a Santa Claus, Johnny. Not a problem. What is a lie? Here's a definition from Webster's. Lie, deliberate false statement, give a false impression. Here's another one. Insincerity, not genuine. What's deceptive or deception? Deliberately misrepresenting the facts by word or deed. What is a fib? A falsehood on a minor matter. What's a minor matter? Well, I don't want to get there either. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 5, verse 1. Jeremiah 5, verse 1. We're talking about truth and sincerity. Paul says to keep the feast with truth and sincerity. Jeremiah 5, verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. I guess we could put any city we want to in there. And see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Remember when Abraham argued with God about Sodom, find 50, 40, 30? God says, one. Find one. Go take a look, he says. Run, Jeremiah, run around the city. Go to the Broadway. Go to the main intersection. Go to the main centers of town. Go to the marketplaces, see if you can find anyone who executes true judgment and who deals in truth. What a condemnation of our society, brethren. Are we truthful people? We need to be truthful. First of all, to be truthful, you must know what the truth is. You must know the truth. Now let's take it to knowing the Bible, thinking about it. You must know the truth. The Bible condemns people who speak about those things that they don't even know. And aren't there a lot of those people who think they're experts about something they don't even know? Those of you who work on the phones like I do hear it all the time. They're calling you for advice, but they're telling you what's up. Remember when Jesus Christ was on trial? People were standing out there quoting the books I read. The people out there were just saying, crucify him, crucify him. They didn't know why they were saying it. The rest of the crowd was probably saying it, which is probably why they were doing it. I often think about when people are talking to me, how do you know what you're saying? Were you there? How can you say this? Oftentimes we say things we don't know because we think we know, maybe. Or what? I'm just sure. I know him. I'm just sure I'm right. Be careful, brethren. What is truth? Scripturally speaking, Bible speaking, Christian speaking, we need to know the Bible. We need to know God's word. We need to understand it and know it. So you can't be buffaloed by somebody else who thinks they know it. Turn to John 17, verse 17. We read this at the Passover. I think it's good to read it again. John 17, verse 17. You all know it probably. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you want to find out what the truth about something is, where should you turn? We have revealed knowledge. This is how God says we'll be set apart. He says, sanctify them through your truth. Set them apart through your truth. Your word is truth. So first of all, we must know the truth. How do you know the truth? God's Holy Spirit will lead you into it. It is amazing. I am shocked. I sit there and watch these people, and I can't believe what I'm hearing on television. I can't believe that this person is a representative of our government, and he is making these comments. Or she. Ladies tell three a day. had to get that in there. I can't believe these comments, but he thinks people are going to believe it. Sometimes they say things because they think you'll buy it. They think you'll believe it, and some of us do. I'm not a government official, obviously. I'm not a politician, and I would never be in politics, but I sure see that it is not true what they're saying. Why does he think people are not going to recognize that? Because people don't deal in truth. We're comfortable with our lies sometimes, brethren. John 16, just up one chapter, John 16, verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, it will guide you into all truth, for it shall speak not of itself, but whatever it shall hear, that it shall speak, and it will show you things to come. So in order to be truthful, we have to know the truth. We have the Word of God to help distinguish truth from falsehood. When you talk about truth as far as spiritually, you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, brethren, to lead you, to help you, and to see and to understand. As we study God's Word, God will show us the truth. And God's time-tested, God-inspired methodology will lead you and help you. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, study, or the New King James says, due diligence, to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Brethren, if you know God's word, you can't be fooled. And there are a lot of people out there who want to fool you, and who will if you let them. Yes, it takes effort to study God's word. You have to understand God's word. You have to talk to him, work with him on your knees. You know, it is possible, if you want to prove there is no God in the scripture. Psalm 14 says there is no God. See, the Bible right there says there is no God. You want to make it say that. But if you read the whole thing, it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So what parts of the Bible do you want to use, and what parts of the Bible do you want to leave out? Rightly divide the word of God. Study it. Be a workman who gets into it and who studies. I want to know the truth. Now we can move on to the next part, and that is speaking the truth. When we talk, we have to be truthful people. This is hard because it might hurt somebody. Speaking the truth is no excuse for being cruel, however. It takes a little diplomacy. It is no reason for being blunt, no excuse for being hurtful. Assertion means I have a right to express myself, and you have the right to express yourself. I can say what I feel, and you can say what you feel, but never in a hurtful way. This is difficult, brethren, but this is what we're called to. It doesn't give you the right to say, now I'm taking off on you. Let me tell you what I think. People get in your face. That's not what, it could be truthful, but it could be the wrong way to go about it. Ephesians 4, brethren, Ephesians 4, verse 15. This part, I read to myself a lot. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Speak the truth. That is the first thing we need to do. Jesus Christ spoke the truth. Now, some people were offended by what he said, but it's because of them, not because of what he said or the way he said it. Because they didn't want to hear it. That's different. Nothing you can do about that. Do you speak the truth or do you prevaricate? Do you fabricate or do you equivocate? You get people that dance around, you know, they just like to beat around the bush, dance around the part of the bush, dance around the part of the bush. They never tell you straight. Speak it straight. You know what one girl used to do? Now, this is not my personal experience, of course. She didn't want to date a particular guy. The guy would come on the phone, and the mother would answer the phone and say, it is so-and-so. And you know what she would do? She would quickly step outside the door, and then her mother could say, she just stepped out. Right? Don't act like you don't know this. You've all done this. I'm sorry, she just stepped out, which is a true statement. She didn't want to say, I'm sorry, I don't want to date you. She would run upstairs, jump in her bed, and her mother would say, I'm sorry, she's in bed. Now, maybe 8 o'clock at night. Tell the truth, brethren. Don't be hurtful. Don't be cruel, but speak the truth. Do you speak the truth or do you magnify the truth? Do you enlarge the truth when it benefits you and minimize the truth when it might not benefit you? That's another hard one. I got a fish this big. Nobody was there. I let it go, of course, because I had my quota for the day. Do you speak the truth unfettered, unblemished, not minimized? Do you tell the truth, not fabricated, not equivocating, not prevaricated? A lie is a lie in God's eyes, brother. Just tell the truth. Zechariah 8. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 16. Zechariah 8:16. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. That's what God says we will be doing in the millennium. We will be speaking the truth, like Ephesians 4. He talks about the perfecting of the saints. This is part of being perfect, brethren. And how we have to become better, how we are growing, how we are overcoming. Some may have more trouble in this area than others. This is how we become more like Christ and less like ourselves. Know the truth, speak the truth. The third one is love the truth. How can we be sincere? How can we keep these days with sincerity and truth? How can we do that? How can we be sincere and truthful? By loving the truth. We love the truth of God. That's why we're here today. Do you love the truth? Do you love God's word? We find that at the end time, there's going to be somebody around who does not love the truth. In fact, runs away from it. Second Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 10. and with all deceivableness or deception of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Therefore, their end is destruction. That's what happens to people who don't love the truth, brethren. They're going to be found out, and it's going to kill them in the end. Do you love the truth? Is truth something that you want to embrace and hold on to be close to? Psalm 119, a few scriptures. There are several others to talk about. Buy the truth and don't sell it. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, which is God's law and God's way. You know, unleavened bread is about taking leavening out of our homes, out of our lives, and putting in something else. You know, my wife makes great unleavened bread. It's not the bread of affliction to me. It tastes good. Very tasty. As you eat that bread, whatever it is, whether you crunch it or whether you salivate it, think that you're putting the law of God in your mouth. You're putting truth in while getting the opposite out. I love this scripture, Micah 7. Turn to Micah 7 and verse 18. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardon iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. For God says he delights in mercy, he delights in mercy. God loves to tell people you are forgiven. James 2:13. Mercy triumphs over judgment. If people believe and repent, he loves to tell them you are forgiven. That's pretty awesome, and we all need that. God won't hold it against us. Finally, the fourth area, live the truth. I can love it. I can know it. I can even speak it. And that is wonderful and fine, but do I live it? Do people see it in me? What do you do in your life? Are you without wax? As I mentioned earlier about the wax in the urn. Are you genuine? Are you the real thing? Are you constant? Are you one way one day and one way another day? Sometimes you think you know people and you think, now is that the real thing? What he just told me? And then you find later how they are. Which one is the real thing? The one I saw yesterday or the one I just saw today? I don't know. Do you know? Sometimes you meet people and you think, well, is that the real person? Sometimes the way they shake your hand makes you wonder. 1 John. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. 1 John chapter 3, 18. This is how we keep this feast in sincerity and truth, brethren. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. He says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Our lives have to be led by truth. As we walk the way, we need to walk in truth. We need to walk with God, because that is where God would lead us, in truth. In fact, if we are going to worship God, we must worship God in spirit and truth. God wants to hear truth from us, brethren. He doesn't want to hear alibis. Well, she made me do it. That started with Adam, didn't it? He doesn't want to hear excuses. When we come to him to repent. Hard to do, brethren. That's why we are a special people to him. Because we're supposed to be able to do this. Now, there are times when we want to discuss something. God, should I do this way or should I do that? God, why are you doing this to me? One of my favorites. It is okay to complain to God, but it is not good to complain about God. Job kind of had that attitude. That's not good. You can complain to him if you want. Complain to him, but not about him or what he's doing. He's smarter than you. You can lay out your case. This is what I have here. It's not about repentance. When we are wrong, just admit it. Be done with it. Don't argue with God about it. Just admit it. He wants truth. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God wants truthful worshipers, brethren. He wants true worshipers. He wants us to live our lives in a truthful manner, even when nobody's looking. Surprise, surprise. Especially when nobody's looking. The Apostle John begged the people to walk in truth. Must have been important to him. He said it a lot. He loved it when he saw the brethren walking in truth. We've got to live the truth. You can't just pretend. It can't be something we put on a shelf and just use once in a while. We've got to do it, and we've got to do it every day. That you may be without wax, that you may be sincere to the time of the end. Quick story about Abraham Lincoln. It was entitled Honest Abe. It was during his shopkeeping days in New Salem that young Lincoln earned the reputation for integrity that led to the handle Honest Abe. And look at how far back we go to remember this. We have to go all the way back to the 1800s to talk about somebody that has this kind of character. The nickname stuck with him for succeeding years and careers. The following incident illustrates why. Soon after his store went out of business, Lincoln received his first political appointment. Age 24, he was named postmaster of New Salem. And this is the job for which he was paid an annual salary of $55.70. 1800s. Wow! Annual, not weekly. In 1836, the New Salem post office was closed. So he had, 3 years. So obviously, it wasn't such a great thing after all. But in those days, bureaucracy moved a lot slower, even than it does now. And it was several years before an agent arrived from Washington to settle the accounts. By that time, Lincoln had started a law practice and was struggling to make ends meet. He wasn't making much money. When the agent located him in his law office and informed him that $17 was due the government. You owe us money for the job you did for us. Lincoln walked across the room, pulled out an old trunk, and opened it. He removed the yellow cotton rag bound with a string. He untied it and spread out the cloth, and there was $17. The agent expressed surprise. I would too. To see that the money had been untouched after all these years. Lincoln said, I never used any man's money but my own. $17, brethren. By the way, there are only two presidents that I could think of that were known for their honesty, Washington and Lincoln. We've had 44. Well, Roosevelt four times, so. But isn't that something? What a sad commentary of our leaders that the title is not attached to a single one. Satan the devil is called the liar and the father of lies. When we are not truthful, when we are false, that's whose side we are on. He is the one who changed the truth to a lie, remember? When Christ came into the world, he was full of grace and truth. Notice John 1. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ brought truth to the world. Christ said, I am the truth. I live the truth. I walk the truth. I speak the truth. When he comes back, what is going to be written on his vesture and on his thigh? King of kings, Lord of lords. But who is he? He is the one called faithful and true. Every day in our lives, brethren, we need to get up in the morning, and when we put on our clothes, put on your belt. Don't forget that belt, because right across the midsection is at the core of our being. That's who we are. Part of our armor we put on every day is the belt of truth. The very core of our being has to be truth, the truth of God. Put it on every day that you might be truthful. Let us keep this feast with sincerity and truth.